Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and how we, as a civilization, are moving into more an understanding of ourselves as energy, as consciousness, as non-physical reality, what my guests might call fifth-dimensional being. Tonight I'll be talking to Zarathustra. He's developed a new form of healing and I would say evolution, which takes us to higher parts of ourselves. So welcome, Zarathustra, to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to thank you, Alan, for inviting me, and also your great audience at this time of the night listening to this program. I'd like to thank him as well.
Well, I saw some videos of what you do on YouTube, and I think it's very interesting in the sense that you are activating people energetically and stuff is happening to them. They're falling down, they're shaking, they're crying, they're screaming. Do you know what you're doing, or is it just kind of an intuitive thing? Can you talk about that?
When I'm completely in the zone, some sort of intelligence beyond the human mind takes over. We can call it the divine being or the unified field of intelligence or the spirit. We can give it different names. But that which takes over knows what it's doing.
Right.
What happens to people is when the energies build up in a group setting and I do touch their third eye, there's a big jolt of energy wave that hits the pineal gland. And pineal gland is bioluminescent. It does get activated by light waves. So when is this? Strong current of light wave hits pineal gland, it starts producing DMT. And that's one of the reasons that they get soft or they shake. And sometimes they fall down and we have to catch them.
Because why? What is happening to make them fall down? I mean, what their pineal gland's being activated, so...
Yeah, the pineal gland starts producing a large amount of DMT, and that causes the person to get shaky because of the production of DMT in pineal gland in that large amount.
Because DMT can also create visions or hallucinations or, you know, levels of reality. Does that happen in your sessions too?
Absolutely. A lot of people... they go into these light worlds, purple or pink or violet, and some people journeying into these crystal worlds. It's the reaction. Different people have different reaction, but most of them do go into these light worlds and crystal worlds or dreamy places, and have encounters with transdimensional beings.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And you told me, though, this kind of thing is just beginning to happen to you. You're really in your early stages. And do you want to tell that story again about the unfoldment, if you care to, about of this gift, like how that all, some of it, I mean,
yes.
Anyway?
Yes, I'll be delighted. The part I'm not clear if you want me to begin with is from my starting spiritual journey to the awakening or how the birth of the fifth dimensional quantum healing. So,
yeah, why don't you start there? I mean, you were on a spiritual path, you saw lots of teachers, and then, yeah, go into the birth of that. I think you said some beings came to you, like that birth of that fifth dimensional healing.
Yes. Yes, I was a spiritual seeker seeking for freedom. And I also realized that I had, I was a channel for healing energy. I was a healer. I noticed that in early time of my seeking. And, and this is around 1989, 1990, and had a couple encounters with two very powerful healers. But originally the goal was freedom of coming to this place within myself, which is quiet. And I'm not subject to emotions of going up and down every day. I wanted to be free. However, as I got closer to this non-dual place within myself, as I more started to recognize this place within the self, which is very still and very silent, and it's non-moving, and it's not subject to feeling good or feeling bad, ups and downs, emotions. It's not subject to any of these things, and it's perfectly still, and it's always there. Some call it the seeker, some call it the observer. As I started to recognize this place within myself more and more, my energy started to build up, and the energy field started to kind of grow around me, and I was feeling more energy in my hands. Around 2009, this is from maybe April to June of 2009, I began to hear voices very clearly in a lower tone, and the voices began to identify themselves as a part of my higher self, as my guides, my fifth dimensional guides and masters and teachers. And in the beginning, it was kind of funny because I was never really into channeling in that way, or I was never attracted to this kind of thing. To me, it was very new age. But when I do hear these voices in my head, they're undeniable, and they're identifying themselves to me as my fifth dimensional guides. And as we go on throughout the course of a week or 10 days, then they're instructing me to go make a business card and write down healer, the word healer on it. And I was a semi-healer for a number of years, but the healing energy wasn't going through my hands and my body at all times. When I went to Asia, I went to India or Philippines or Iran or those countries, the healer would come out. And I would have the energy. I had the power. I could feel it. But whenever I came back to the U.S., the healer would disappear. Consequently, since I had a different life, I did not talk about it and didn't publicize this. Only a few close friends were aware that I had these abilities, but I wouldn't talk about it or practice it. In 2009, when I got... And this event of 2009, you have to also keep in mind that I was 6 months in Brazil, and I stayed 6 months in this village called Abajania, where John of God resides. So I stayed there for six.
Was that a big part of your activation, being with the energies of John of God? Did you feel?
Yeah, I think, Alan, it had, because it was the 6 months that I ended up in Brazil, and I went for self-healing, and I wanted to be somewhere quiet. And this place is very, very powerful and has a lot of Shakti and energy running through this place. And definitely going into the current rooms, energy rooms that John of God was doing healing, and being there for 6 months in that energy field, I believe... that it did trigger something very strongly, and I left Abajania in July, August of 2008, and I went to Los Angeles. But by almost 9 months, 10 months after that date, I left in 2007. About a year and a half after that departure of Brazil, I get activated in Los Angeles, and I hear these voices talking to me. And it was a bit confusing in the beginning, but then they tell me to make a business card. So I make a business card. I'm just wondering, what am I going to write on it? And they say, write healer. And then they say, quantum healer. I say, oh, that sounds pretty cool. then they say fifth-dimensional quantum healing. And that was when I was like, wait a minute, excuse me, what the hell is fifth-dimensional quantum healing? I don't even know what that means, let alone to go make a business card and give it to people and tell them I'm doing this. There's no way I do this. I make a fool out of myself. And then they tell me, go ahead and research it. So I go on the internet and start researching it. And the feeling gets stronger and stronger. The voices are getting more clear. And during this period of time, I also had a couple of very powerful encounters. And one of these encounters was that I was a bit confused as which direction in life I should go. My old world was collapsing and nothing was happening anymore. And the new world, which was doing this healing work, was opening up. And it was very confusing and frightening in this period of time of thinking, how am I going to make a living? Who's going to pay my bills? How am I going to announce this? The fear of announcing that I am fifth-dimensional quantum healer out of nowhere was great. And there were a lot of doubts. And I happened to be in Sedona. I happened to run into a friend who turned me on to a powerful healer, channeler, who worked with, she apparently connects with somebody that a dead person, someone close to you who's dead, and
who was the channeler? Who was that?
The name of the channeler?
Yeah, curious.
Her name is Tara, and okay. She lived in Sedona at that time, and she was quite famous. I didn't know her, and I have not heard from her. But I've only seen her one time, but she was wonderful because through this, all of a sudden, my sister shows up who had died about 8 years ago. And all the indications that the channeler, Tara, is giving me is very, very exact. So there was, I was convinced this is the spirit of my sister talking to me. And she's instructing me that I am afraid and I'm a coward and I'm not coming to the open. I should come out to the open and announce that I'm a healer and I do have the power or the energy comes through me and I'm just frightened. And so consequently, after a couple of other things happened in this period of time from April to June, I was convinced that I need to do something. I need to do this. And throughout this time, the other experience that happens to me is that all of a sudden, the entities that are talking to me about fifth-dimensional quantum healings, they kind of appear to be like the same entities that they would possess John of God. It had the same quality of feeling of them being present and in comparison to when I was in Abidjania. So there are a lot of indications and similarities and coincidences, if we would call it, or synchronicities happening all in the same time.
Did you feel like you were sort of, things were happening to you physically also besides these interesting people you've been running into? Did you feel stuff like in your brain opening, in your mind, in your body, you know, awakening?
What happened, I was feeling extreme amount of energy running, a strong current of energy running through my hands. And what happened is all of a sudden I was completely knocked out. I was very, very weak. I could not get up to go to the kitchen or go to the bathroom. I had a hard time doing that. I had to lie down on my bed for 3 weeks. I couldn't fully fall asleep, but I wasn't completely awake. And I could just see, as I had my eyes closed, I could feel like there was information being downloaded in my psyche. And it very much reminded me of that part of the movie Matrix where Neo was looking at the bad guys, and the bad guys, they turn into these energy patterns. And that's how it felt like information in the form of energy, a pattern was being downloaded. Mm. And that took 3 weeks. And after that 3 weeks, my life came back to normal. But what happened was they told me they were downloading, and we're turning your right hand into a high frequency transmitter, so you can do psychic surgery and transmit information in cellular level to people you touch, and that's how you can change their blueprints and change their pattern of way of thinking from inside out by changing the cellular memory of the person, whether it's a healing work, physical level, emotional, or spiritual. That's what happened.
So is this happening because, it seems like you're an agent for this planetary change, and we're here to upgrade our physical DNA structure, the ascension, whatever you want to call it. Are you just one of many who are doing this, or are you one of the few?
Well, I see there's a lot of light workers on this planet in different ways and forms appearing and doing their job. And I find myself being one of the many.
Right. What's the big picture here? You're activating these people, but do you get a vision of what it's all about or what it's all for? You know what I mean?
Yes. The truth of it is what has become very clear to me and shown to me is that all is very well and everything is perfectly the way it is and nothing needs to be changed. Everything is absolutely 100% under control, and it's unfolding the way it needs to do, to be. However, some of us on this path, when we do come across other beings, that they're ready, and that means they're vibrating in a certain frequency, then it's our job to transmit the truth to them. And the truth is that within every single being, every human being, there is a place within themselves which is timeless. And it's like a column of presence and awareness, which is always here. And it hasn't been born or it won't die. It's just pure presence. And it doesn't have an identity. It just is. And once our attention goes towards this place within ourselves, which also I need to add that this is not a place that we gain, therefore we cannot lose it. It's not something we have to work on to gain it or develop it. It's a place that is already present, so we cannot lose it. The only thing that happens is that either through the grace of the guru or the master or the healer or shaman or anything happens in life, something happens, for whatever reason, our attention turns around and goes towards this place within ourselves. And once we start noticing this place, we realize that we are an eternal presence being that is always here and is able to see change. It can observe change, but it's not unaffected by change itself. It does come in a way of having a body and a character, and now you can see the body is growing old and the character is becoming wise, hopefully, and at one point it dies. But the real being does not move. It's always here. So
right, but that,
once
that's,
we...
Yeah, I'm... Okay, go ahead. Yeah, finish.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
Tell me. Yes, no.
Once we come to this understanding, finding this place inside our own self, we start to see it's in the fabric of every other being. Then we start seeing that actually it's a duplication of one being which is, we can call it God, and it's in everything and everywhere. And
right.
By that realization, the mind becomes very quiet. And as the mind becomes more quiet, you raise your vibrations to much higher frequencies. Mm-hmm. The more we identify to this silent place within, the more we raise our vibrations. The more we raise our vibrations, the more our reality starts to change. We find ourselves in a similar planet Earth to this one, with all of our friends and everything, yet you're not affected by the troubles, by the diseases, by the things that average human being is concerned, because you're not vibrating in that frequency. Yet you can see them, but they cannot see you.
Right. What you're saying is like the eternal spiritual truths that we are this eternal being. I mean, that's always been true. People have always known that, but it seems like something else is also happening at this time in our history. It's like boiling water. You know, first there's a few bubbles and then there's a few more and then suddenly the whole pot is boiling over, and something like that seems to be happening. Do you get that sense?
Yes, absolutely. That, because there are these relative realities simultaneously are happening in this realization of the silent and still place within. We also start to see that there's multidimensional aspects of our own self simultaneously living billions of different lives.
Mm-hmm.
And of other people too. So something, absolutely something is happening. It appears that something is happening. But once you find this place within yourself, you realize nothing has ever happened.
Right, but that is a new revelation for the general population, and it seems like you're more and more people, I mean, we're changing civilization in that sense, you know, the mass culture.
It certainly, Alan, appears to be happening.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, it's like you said, it's just the beginning for you. I think there's untold possibilities that lie ahead for who we are collectively because of these types of activations.
Yes.
The
fifth dimensional quantum being, healing and awareness, fifth dimensional quantum awareness, is about that we identify with the still point within ourselves through silence. And through that we change. We make changes in wherever we are, not from the outside. We take a quantum leap. There is no need to try to change anything in the outside world. We change something within ourselves, and then the outside world changes accordingly. And that's the fifth dimensional quantum awareness.
So has your life, I mean, you're doing all this amazing work. You're traveling around the world. You're activating people there. But has your life, I mean, what was the, so if you can progress with your story a little bit, I just wanted to clarify some points. But yeah, so as you start to gain this power, you were directed on how to use this power, I assume, right? And
yeah, well, I would have to say it's the other way kind of around. It's the power is taken over,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes more apparent and more apparent that. I don't really have a choice,
mm-hmm.
rather than just surrendering to it and let it do whatever it wants to do. But its intelligence is much more beyond what I can imagine. So I'm forced to surrender to it and let it do its thing.
But you have a regular life as well, don't you? You live sort of as a normal person, or is this power like always happening for you?
No, of course. No, I do. Of course I have a normal life, and I get sick and I get a toothache and everything that happens to anybody else.
Right. But can't this power also be used to elevate your ordinary life in a sense? Because when we start to live as fifth dimensional beings, something else starts to happen for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a nonstop thing, because that state of personal evolution is continuously happening. Mm-hmm. And it does affect my normal life, because my point of view to things are different. Like, I don't panic easily, or I don't react so easily to unpleasant things in my life. And there's this deep sense of trust that all is well and everything is taken care of. But, you know, I can still get scared or have to defend myself, or if I fall down, something will break or be caught. And I have to suffer the pain. But definitely it affects, and your awareness is much more heightened, and you become a lot more sensitive to everything. Because you realize you are in everything. Therefore, you have a hard time sometimes separating yourself from everything.
And then you have a stillness that you've activated inside you, right? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, the stillness was something that was recognized. I recognize that this is always here. And that's one of my goals and one of my passions, is to transmit that to other people that are open to me. I don't walk around and preach it, but if someone's open to me, then I'm very happy to transmit it to them. Whether I do touch them under third eye, or touch them somewhere on their body, or by just sitting with them in silence.
Can you do it on the radio, this transmission, or do you have to be in the physical presence with them?
No, I can do it from anywhere at any time. I can do it right now.
Could you do it now? I'm going to prepare myself. And
okay.
But I'm laying down, but anyway. All right.
Are you lying down, did you say
I
that?
I am lying down. Should I stand up?
Okay.
Or I'll lie down.
Okay, so when you're ready, let me know.
But also, everyone listening, and I think that we probably have a bunch of people listening, this will be directed towards them as well?
Sure, absolutely. Anyone who's open to it, they can just follow these instructions.
Okay,
so
good.
So either you stand up and close your eyes, or you sit in a comfortable position, or lie down. If you can put your hands on your heart, that would be great. If not, maybe one of them on your heart. If not, that's fine. And you just simply bring your attention on your third eye. And breathe in. Imagine you're breathing in from your third eye instead of breathing in through your nose. So it's just an imagination. And we just gently breathe in and out. Mm-hmm. So this breathing is happening from the third eye. And now we can just turn this breathing into a violet light that we're breathing it in from our third eye. And as we're breathing it in, it hits the center point in our brain, which is the pineal gland. Now, when you breathe in, the light comes, hits the pineal gland, and as you breathe out, instead of it going back the same direction, now it's going upwards, and it goes and hits the top of the skull, but it doesn't go outside of the head, and it falls down from every side of the skull, falls down and cools off the brain. So with the first breath, we're breathing in, and the air goes in through a tunnel and hits the pineal gland in the center of the brain. And then we breathe it in, and then when we breathe out, the air goes up horizontally, and it hits the air goes vertically, and it hits the top of the skull, and it falls down and cools off the brain. So we're going to do this in silence for a few moments. It's a visualization. You're visualizing that with every breath you take, the air goes in, and then with your breathing out, the air goes upwards and hits the skull and falls down and cools off your brain. So we start. So, did you feel anything, Alan?
Yeah, as you made those sounds, I felt waves come through my body, sort of, I reacted. Yeah, I felt something. Right.
Right. A very just subtle tingling and sensation.
Yeah, something in my chest, sort of opening up. And
right. So that was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what was going on, if it was my visualization, but something in those sounds, what were those sounds you were making?
These are some ancient sounds that also been given to me as far as, not given to me specifically, it's available to everyone, but they came to me intuitively when I got activated, which has healing properties as far as see, what's going to happen in the coming future is we're going to use laser and sound vibration in correcting things like surgery or using a kidney stone or also putting bones back together or cutting through tissue. Nothing's going to be through a knife anymore in the future technology. It's all going to be through sound and wave. Vibration, sound vibration, and light. Mm-hmm. So these are some sound vibrations that when I send them out, such as so anyway, they do trigger and they awaken certain parts of the cellular of the DNA and rewriting the cellular memory. And whatever they rewrite and awaken is the program to awaken us to who we really are.
Right. I get that. So each different sound did something. Each sound did just something different. They're specific in their direction, right?
Yes. It's totally random. And when I turn into the channel of the fifth dimensional quantum healing, then that intelligence does whatever sound it wants to create and knows that what triggers what in whom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
totally,
I liked it. I actually feel a little clearer, a little more well-rested, I have to say. Things look a little sharper.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's me creating it or something really did shift, but...
who knows? But
right.
It all appears that it works and it's affecting something. So but it's just the fact that you felt something, whether you think you created it or it just happened, in such a short period of time, it's an indication that it works.
Yeah, so your job is now to travel around the world and activate people, huh?
Well, yes, it appears to be that way. Yeah, it looks like that's my job now.
That's a good job.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't perceive myself as I am a savior or my job is to liberate people. I'm not even identified to that this is what I have to do. But this appears to be what is going on in my life. I don't have a choice not to do it. And I don't, I get so much joy out of it. And
people benefit from it. I've heard people get, my friend Liz in Sedona had a great transformation, it seems. Like, I mean, she seems different in some ways, and I've noticed that. So, I mean, it's having positive effects on people.
Yes, I'm just grateful to the source, to the spirits, for just giving me this opportunity to be able to be a vehicle to transform so many lives and see so much joy in their people's eyes or smiles, or when people come to a workshop of mine and then their life changed forever. You know, not everybody, but the ones who do, it just gives me so much joy that I was able to touch someone's life permanently. And the interesting thing is that when we're in groups, the energy is so much stronger, and it's so profound. And the periods of time that the silence takes over, and I don't have to say anything or do anything, but it just takes over.
Well, what happens in the workshops? How I mean, it's not just the meditation. What else goes on? What other kind of things can people expect in your workshop?
I offer different kind of, I offered three different workshops at this point, or I would have to say four. And one of them is my signature workshop, which is the third eye activation, which all the meditations, active meditations, and everything is towards activating the pineal gland. And I do educate my people, what is pineal gland, what is its relationship to third eye or sixth chakra, and how it gets activated, what are the benefits of it, and everything that they need to do, and we work in that direction. Also, I realize that in order to also activate your pineal gland, you have to love yourself. And self-love and self-acceptance is very, very important in raising our vibrations to a higher frequency. So I do incorporate self-love affirmations in my third eye activation workshop.
But the pineal gland in particular, is that is the doorway to kind of fifth and higher levels of dimensional awareness. Is that the reason for its activation?
Absolutely. The pineal gland is the gateway between the physical realm and spiritual realm.
Tell me a little more about the pineal gland.
The pineal gland, since it does produce DMT, dimethyltryptamine, and it does produce a large amount of DMT at birth, and a large amount of DMT at death. That's why a lot of people go into these blissful states when they're dying, or they go through the tunnel and have these different experiences and encounters with transdimensional beings and spiritual beings. But in addition to that, when pineal gland becomes activated, and through the production of dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT, its main thing is that it takes the illusion of duality away. It makes it very clear that we're very interconnected. It's our own selves, that we're one with everything, and it's not just a theory. We start experiencing that oneness, that it is my own self everywhere. And that's its main thing, taking the illusion of duality away.
The
other benefits that come with it, which is as a result of that realization, the person, as they start realizing that they're one with everything, obviously then they can become a much better psychic, because if you're one with everything, then you can know everything. So the psychic power is enhanced through this oneness, which if you're a clairvoyant, you become a much more powerful clairvoyant. clairaudient, clairsentient, claircognient, all of your psychic abilities enhance drastically. If you're a channeler, you're a much bigger channel and clear channel now because you're experiencing you're one with everything. Therefore, you get out of the way and you become a pure channel. If you're a psychic, if you're a healer, again, this is all channeling. So I've had people come to me that they're singers in Los Angeles, and somehow they couldn't sing. Something happened to them. They lost their voice. And I work on them once or twice, and they started singing again. I had people who were writers, or had someone came to me. He could never cook. He had no cooking abilities or talent. And after a few workshops or sessions, he turned to this really amazing chef. I still, when I go to Redondo Beach, he invites me over for dinner. And so many different things happen in artistic and psychic ability. In addition to that, it's believed that we have a large amount of calcite microcrystals, the same components that we have in our inner ear, as well as cell phone technology has been copied from it, that is a transmitter and receiver. So we have a complete cell phone in our pineal gland that by activating it in a higher levels, we can communicate with other beings from anywhere in the world through our telepathic abilities.
And that's activated with your work, that kind of inner awareness.
When I do the third eye activation workshop or an individual person, when I start working on their pineal gland and getting their pineal gland activated, their lives change. And, of course, person to person, that is different. Some people are more available to this and ready, and some aren't. But I've never worked with anybody in the past 3 years that I put my finger on their third eye and they did not feel anything.
Right.
You know, maybe the feeling was short and went away. But every single person I've worked with, they felt something happened, whether it was profound or not, but something changed. Mm. And the reason for that is because pineal gland, as I mentioned, it's bioluminescent. It gets activated through light.
Right. Can you teach people to do that as well? Or because you've got a sort of transmission going, it's pretty much coming from you. But I think my friend Liz said you were teaching some of that, weren't you?
No, I have not teach fifth dimensional quantum healing to anybody yet. A part of it is I feel I'm not ready for it. And also, somehow it doesn't feel right 100%. But I certainly can show people and teach people, if those who are interested and they're dedicated, when the key to it is you have to tap into your inner silence through inner stillness, through inner silence.
Uh-huh.
That's the key to this. That's the component. Unless the person can go beyond their mind and come into this still and silent place within themselves, they're not able to raise their vibrations to higher frequencies. And this is basically what I do. I'm able to raise my own vibrations or vibrating from a much higher frequency, and therefore I can transmit that information. Other people can't. But they have to go through this period of training with me or wherever on their own or Vipassana meditation or other masters or teachers. But they have to find their inner silence first, an inner still point. That's the key to it. So,
I see.
Yeah, once they do that, their energy automatically raises and they become a much more powerful transmitter. To transmit information.
So you say that to anyone listening, anyone, anywhere, find your own inner silence first in general, right?
Yes, absolutely. Through silence, finding this still point, the inner stillness, this place within themselves, which can observe change. Mm-hmm. You know, when for example, I make it simple. You know, often, you know, we go to our friends and we say, how are you doing, Alan? Well, I've been kind of depressed or down for the past 3-4 weeks. Or we say, I'm doing really well. I feel so good. Everything's going so well. I'm just so happy and energetic.
Uh-huh.
So how are you able to know this about yourself? How can you see that within yourself? There has to be something inside us. There has to be a point, a focal point within me, which is not changing and can see change.
The observer, you're saying. This is what they call the observer or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, the observer, right. Mm-hmm. Once I recognize this place and I realize I'm the observer, my real identity is the observer, not the character that I think I am, the character of a person, the character in this movie called life. Then, because the character is going to go up and down, it's subject to emotional ups and downs.
Right.
It's when things go your way, you're happy. When things start not going your way, you're miserable. And that is with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But once what happens differs, the difference between the guru, enlightened one, or the master is that the master mastered stillness, found that place within itself that doesn't change, and began to identify to that place. Therefore, can observe change but not be affected by it.
And that's who we really are. That observer is us, not the name or the personality or the thing that goes up and down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. The more we identify with the true part of ourselves, the less we're affected by the ups and downs of life.
Right.
We have less of an identification because this is a pendulum. It's swinging from one end to another continuously. So it's going from good to bad, from bad to good. It's going. It's continuously going sideways, swinging.
Mm-hmm. So somehow with
point,
mm-hmm.
The focal point of the pendulum is a non-moving place. Find that place and identify to that place, and then you're free.
And so the activation of the pineal gland from that still point helps expand our reality, in a sense, and show us our multidimensional connection to all time and space, would you, or something?
Yes. All of them are connected and hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
right. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted you to continue with the other things you do, but no, finish what you were going to say there, because I...
Yeah, in just accordance to what you said, sometimes, we come across, for some reason, something happens, and either we're doing yoga, or it's a tantric sex, or we're under effect of some psychedelic substance, or we fall down, we hit our head against something, we come across a powerful transmitter, a guru, a teacher, a healer. Something happens, and this mechanism is turned on. And mm-hmm. And when that happens, it helps recognizing this oneness. So, basically.
So that's one of the things you do is the activation of the pineal gland that you said you do three things, basically, or more.
Yes.
What else?
I developed a workshop. It's called Heart Awakening or Heart Chakra Opening, Self-Love, Self-Acceptance. And what happened was I realized when I was doing the third eye activation workshops, I realized that what I'm doing in those workshops is way too advanced for a lot of people because a lot of people were hurt or abandoned or beaten up or shipped from one home to another home with their parents or raped or sexually abused, and they were they're heartbroken. So I realized that there's no point for me to take him to these, teaching him these psychic powers, enhancing their psychic powers, mm-hmm. when they're heartbroken. And I needed to do that first to help him realize that they're whole and complete, and then teach him and show him how to activate their psychic powers. So I developed this workshop for that. Okay. And after that, then I realized that it would be great to have a pre, why not go one step deeper? So I developed this other workshop called Who Am I? Is My Life Story Real? And I was able... Yeah, and it's very interesting because I love seeing people's faces at the end of workshop. And it's interesting because towards the end, nobody wants to tell their life story anymore because they don't believe it anymore. They're just tired of it. They realize that their life story has nothing to do with who they really are.
So that's good.
I've developed these workshops, and of course I'm always thinking and looking and to see what resonates with me and how other ways, what are the other ways that I can help people recognizing themselves.
But in these other workshops, do you still get the energy and the power coming through you? Are they more psychologically based, or is it still an activation?
No, it does, because I'm using active meditations like dancing, jumping, shouting, doing blah, 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 gibberish, laughing meditation. Mm-hmm. We have a crying meditation. We have different kind of meditations for different workshops. So it does activate everybody by shaking and laughing or crying. It's very powerful. So I get really activated through myself.
So you're saying that your energy gets turned up in your body in that way?
Yes. Yes, it gets very strong. It becomes very powerful. And also I use sound vibrational therapy as well as, for example, didgeridoo. If I do have a didge player partner, when I do, we use didgeridoo because that raises the vibrations very quickly through didgeridoo, which is this indigenous instrument from Australia, Aboriginal Australian. Nowadays we have them in the U.S. I was just explaining it for our listeners.
I think most people have probably heard the didgeridoo if they've been listening to this program. I mean, it's right. kind of out
so,
there. So.
Right.
I'm just curious about that vibration. Activates people as well. There's something in the didgeridoo.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, these are like I use Native American drums, and I feel very connected to the Native American spirit. I don't practice any Native American religion or teachings because I don't know them, but I feel very connected to the spirit. And so I do speak in a Native American tongue language that just comes out of me, and I play the drum and the shaker, and it's these are ancient sounds, and we know we're God, in down deep in our core of being we all know who we are, so these different indigenous instruments they're reminding of. And reminding us of who we are. So I use them.
Yeah, by and you're in your work reminding people or connecting them to who they've always been.
Yes.
But do you think we are actively going to meet in a way another civilization, a fifth dimensional civilization? I mean, is us, but are we encountering like these beings that came to you and guided you, are they in a way going to start to flood the planet and have this whole other level of interaction here with people?
Yeah, well, I think that happens all the time, and it's been happening throughout the history of mankind, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And yes, I feel like the more you raise your vibrations, the more your channels are open to have an encounter with other beings.
So,
absolutely.
But maybe when we reach a critical mass of sorts of people who have reached the silence and have opened their channels, something can shift through the whole of the population. That's sort of the information I've been getting. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah, I believe it's very much possible.
So right now we're really like on the front lines initiating these levels of awakening, and as more and more people go through this, it feeds the morphogenetic field, and maybe more people have an easier time accessing those levels.
Well, primary levels are always going to be there. Like the planet of Earth that was in Second World War and there was all these stuff happening, that kind of consciousness, those levels, the way I see it, is simultaneously existing. Those levels are never going to change. By raising our vibrations, we travel through different levels. And as we do, the world that we find ourselves in it is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we need to go change that world. It's just we change ourselves, and that world is not affecting you anymore. It's not your reality. Your reality changes.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving to a new world in that sense.
By changing from within, not the world outside you changing, you are changing, so you find yourself in a new world.
Yeah, I get that, and I think it's happening, and I think it's great the work you're doing, because why not? It's also fun, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, I love what I'm doing, especially when I'm on a group setting, when I'm doing the work. I love it. There's aspect of my work that I don't enjoy, dealing with website or things like that. The parts of it I don't like, but the 95% of it I love, especially when I'm doing the actual work. And hopefully, maybe in the close future, through grace of God, I will have enough help that I don't have to do the parts I don't like.
Right. But I'm sure you will.
I wouldn't change my life with anything at this point.
Well, hopefully you can come to New York and do some activations here, because I think we're ready for it. We talked about possibly in March, you said, coming here?
Yeah, well, yes. I'm very honored. I really appreciate your invitation, and I will accept. Yes, I would love to come to New York.
Well, what is your schedule now for people who are interested? Where are you? You're in Sedona now?
Yes, I'm in Sedona on October 5th at Alchemy Conference in Los Angeles. I'm doing a 1.5-hour fifth dimensional quantum healing, which it's focused at the healing work. It's a 1.5-hour workshop. And then on the 6th, I go to Norway. October 6th. Mm-hmm. I do have, I'm attending two conferences in Norway, one in Tromsø and the other one in Oslo at Lillestrøm. And I have 5 workshops scheduled at this point.
What are those conferences about in Norway? What are they about? What's the subject of the conference?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Conference or workshop?
No, the conference is in Norway. What's the subject of the conference? What's the theme?
Both of them are similar to Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. I'm not. It's I'm not aware of any specific theme. It's just similar to what we have here in the U.S. At a Conscious Life Expo type or New Life Expo type. And there's different participants that offer different things. Just like here, from vitamins and supplements and books and things like that to crystals to healers and speakers and everything else.
So, okay, so how long do you spend in Norway?
I'll be in Norway till December 9th. Then I return back to U.S., Los Angeles, and then I have to prepare for the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, which is in February. And then I believe I'll have a workshop or two after that. And I'm open for March. So.
Well, March, there's a New Life Expo in New York, and you could do the expo, and then we can also do a bunch of workshops around that, like afterwards, for people.
I'm very open to it. I would love that. I feel very honored for this invitation, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah, because you haven't been to the East Coast yet with your work. I mean,
no, I haven't.
All right, great. Well, and you say it keeps evolving as well. What do you see coming for you in your work? Maybe you don't know.
Well, the vision I always had that this message and this teaching should be shared worldwide. So that's what I see, basically. That it will be on a bigger stage. Because that's how I found my own inner freedom, by recognizing this space within myself. And this is what my teachers have gifted me, and I feel obligated to share this with whomever's open to it. So I would love to take it to the next level.
But the message
takes itself to the next level.
But what is the message? Is the silence inside us, or what is the message?
Well, the message is that we are who we're looking for in reality. We're complete and we're whole. This Cinderella story that was sold to us in childhood is not true. That happiness, inner peace is coming from the outside. We have to gain something, whether we should get a college degree or get married or become wealthy or become educated, thinking that it's coming from outside of us or get love from outside of us. We are God itself. We are complete. There's nothing wrong with every single individual being on this planet. They're perfectly the way they need to be. But once we go beyond our mind, it's in our minds that we're dissatisfied or unhappy. And once we go beyond the mind and we realize we are the divine self itself, and it's always present and it's non-moving, it's very still. Mm. It's an inner silence we discover, then there's no problem.
Right. So we've been totally brainwashed to forget ourselves, thinking, if we make enough money or find the right partner or have a bigger house or more things, that's going to make us happy. Of course, we know a lot of people have had all those things and they're not any happier than someone who doesn't have those things, you know.
Yes, absolutely. It's a short time, a temporary happiness, and then it turns to dissatisfaction because it's not there. It cannot complete you. Something from the outside, it cannot, $10 million cannot, it can bring me a lot of comfort and ease in the physical world, but it cannot complete me because I'm already complete. I'm already that. So,
right.
So it's never going to work. But that's also perfectly divine because it's meant to be this way, obviously. But in the meantime, it appears that there are some light workers out there. Their job is to help and spread the love and awaken other people to this truth. So it's kind of a dance that it plays with itself. On one hand, it pretends like it's asleep, and then on the other hand, it brings something to awaken itself. It's difficult from someone who's looking at it from a duality point of view to understand it. But when you go to a non-dual space, all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, the whole thing is perfectly divine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the way it wants to be.
Well, and the way to find the way through the illusion of this story we bought is to find the silence and the peace within ourselves. That's like the
Absolutely.
First...
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Because, you know, where is the... I mean, besides, if I torture your body, yes, you're going to suffer. But outside of that extreme example, where is the problem normally in this very moment, in the very, very this moment, which the only thing that exists, which mm-hmm. is right now? If
yeah,
you just look...
There's no problem right now. I mean, if there is, it's only in my mind, the problem.
Yes, exactly. And the mind is memory. It's a bundle of thoughts. So if
right.
we play a game, let's play a game. And I don't know how much time we have or not, but let's
we
play
have
a
as
game
much time
me.
As we want. No, but we have as much time as we want, really. It's fine.
Right. Well, let's for one minute, let's play
yeah,
this game and let's put memory away. And you know, we're not referring to anything of memory. And we put our memories away. And in this very moment as we're sitting, is there a problem?
No, this is Byron Katie. There's just this. There's nothing else but this. There couldn't be a problem because there's just this now.
It's an eternal now. It's always happening in this very moment. And the rest of it is in the memory, which is like garbage can. So we go, or when, you know, let's say, you know, you're crazy about this guy or this girl and you don't get her or get him and she breaks your heart or whatever. Something powerful emotional happens to us and we are hurting in a moment. It really hurts. Okay,
right.
I'm not saying every moment in life it's nothing is happening. Yes, you go through that pain in that moment, whatever it is, for a day, 2 or 3 days. But then when the emotion is gone, the rest is it remains in the memory. And the next emotion comes. The next emotions may just like somebody says something funny and you start laughing. And you're really laughing. And then after that, laughter is over, and then we start thinking about the loss of the person who broke our heart. And then we go into the memory, and pain comes. But in a very present moment, if you're here 100%, you realize that it's an instant of something that happens, and you feel it or you don't. But then it's gone, and it's non-existing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
but,
like
okay.
if you look at... You know when the kids are playing by the swimming pool and they're having this little boat running in the pool, and the water is still and the pool is going through it and it creates these ripples behind the boat is going and creates these ripples behind it. But if you wait for 5 minutes, the ripples are gone and then the water is still again, and mm-hmm. it's like where is 5 minutes ago? What happened? Well, let's bring it back. What happened to 5 minutes ago? It's non-existing.
Okay. I mean, I get it, and I think it's true, and it's a great thing to remind anyone who thinks they're, you know, caught up in some drama or whatever. But I'm also interested, okay, that place of presence, how does that connect to this activation, to the pineal activation, to the fifth dimensional? Because when we're present, we're really... pretty much here in this dimension, where's the connection, in a sense, to these other levels? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. What happens is if you can just be present like the way I described, your vibrations begin to rise automatically. It's almost an automatic change in your vibration. Every time you can tap into this being eternal presence, if you pay attention, you notice that you're vibrating differently. Uh-huh. Now, if you can create a continuous of this, continuously being in this place, then you will experience a much stronger vibrational field around you. And that's what activates the pineal gland, or can activate. I'm not saying that's the only thing that does it, but it does affect it.
So then these other levels of reality start to appear, in a sense, would you say, when we're really present here? Because they're also present here, in a way. Those multidimensionals, those beings, those levels of consciousness, they're also right here when we're
all
aware
of them. Yes, they're all occupying the same space, all of them. But you just don't run into it because you're not vibrating that certain frequency.
Mm-hmm. So the more we're vibrating in the present and the more we're expanding our pineal gland, the more DMT that's flooding into our brains through those activations, the awareness expands and we start to realize like it's a doorway is opening to a presence beyond this presence, in a sense, right?
Yes, absolutely. It creates a chain reaction, correct.
And that's when these interactions with these beings and levels of consciousness occur.
Yeah, I mean, that's a yes, of course, because that's a part of it.
Yeah. But what else were you going to say then with...
Nothing. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I'm just curious. So are these, like you talked in the beginning with these voices and these beings, are they more present with you as you go deeper into the work, or do they become sort of integrated into you?
Well, as I mentioned again, that when I go in the zone and I'm doing my work, it's very clear to me that a bigger intelligence, you know, we can call it God, or we can call it the entity, or the supreme soul. I feel like something much bigger than my human limited senses and intelligence that I possess takes over, that knows what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. But can you live there? Can we all live there?
I beg your pardon?
I understand. And I think it's great, but can we actually live in that place beyond the personality, in that presence of the big self?
Well, yes, we can, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. And, I mean, in a way, we are already in all of it. So it's not like we're disconnected from it. Whether that is the reality of the moment, in that moment it's the experience, that's a different story. That if that experience, we're seeking that experience, that we're in this state all the time. But the fact is that when you tap out of states, all of them appear as a state to you. When you connect to this place of stillness within, that also becomes a state. If you're vibrating in this place that feels really high and really or spiritual or connected, that becomes another state. What I'm indicating to is what is beyond all of these things, that which doesn't move. Hello?
What did you say? What's in all of these? Wait, say that part again. I missed that last part.
What I said is... what I'm referring to, and I'm trying to help and point other people to, is to look for what is beyond all of that.
Oh, I see.
That place, okay. Yeah, exactly. Because I realized when I was sitting with different gurus, and I was a guru junkie, you know, I loved being sitting with them because I got really high. Uh-huh. And I loved it. And, you know, I just wanted... But then eventually I realized that I always yeah, I was like, can I vibrate in this frequency all the time? But then I realized, what is it that can see that I'm vibrating in this frequency versus another frequency? When I realized the focal point, then that was like the jackpot. That was the total freedom.
Right.
Because I was free from any states.
Mm-hmm. You were the pure observer at that point.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of pretending not to be the observer as we interact in the world, because if we were just the observer, in a sense, would we do anything? I guess we might, but or we could just sit back and observe it all. I don't know, but
right.
Is there anything to do?
That's a very good place to be too. because I don't know either, to be honest with you. The deeper I go in, the less I realize I know, and I can't figure this out. This is way beyond my human understanding. Mm-hmm. I realize that I can never understand the mystery, but I can dissolve it and become one with the mystery.
Yeah,
and that's
good.
That's a great place to be. I don't know. There's a lot of it that I don't really know, and I don't know what to say.
No, of course. Those who know, yeah, I don't think you can know. I think that's really honest and clear and sincere to say you don't know, because once you're the mystery, the mystery doesn't even know what it is, in a sense, I suppose. I mean, it's what is unfolding the next moment as creation, as new realities,
yes.
As a new world.
Yes, and it always reproduces itself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people come to me and say, oh, Zarathustra, what are you seeing about 10 years from now, or the world is going to end, or the planet Earth is going to end? But to me, it's like it's the whole thing. It's one organic unity, which is present, and it's always here, and it's just mm-hmm. changing from one form to another form, and it keeps recreating itself.
Yeah.
It's a multidimensional infinite being that is continuously recreating itself. And that understanding comes a lot of peace.
Right. But I think it's very amazing that more and more people are having this realization. It's like it's a revolution in consciousness that seems to be just happening everywhere on the planet.
I couldn't agree anymore.
Right. So it's exciting.
Absolutely.
And amazing, and truly a new time. What were you going to say?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say something, too, about that.
No, I was just listening to you. It is a very exciting time. I'm so happy that I have the front seat row. We all do. We're all existing. We got to see the shift of the calendar, the time of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012. It went to 2013. We got to see that. We've been seeing a lot of different changes.
We're getting caught up, Alan. Was that significant for the planet, you think, the Mayan calendar?
No, what I'm saying is I'm not an expert in it, and I've never was into it so much as a lot of people have. But what I'm saying is that we witnessed this shift.
Yeah.
And so to
something happened. Something has happened globally to consciousness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes,
Something has happened. Something is happening at every moment. And I just feel very lucky that I'm alive at this time. And I can experience it. and who knows which direction is going to go. But I'm here, and I'm getting to experience it.
And
but
you're getting
wherever
to...
it goes, go ahead.
No, you're getting to activate people. You're experiencing it, but you're also participating in it. In that
yes,
way.
Exactly. I'm playing my role at this point, and the force, the Supreme Soul, Her Majesty Lord God, she is definitely doing it through this guy called Zarathustra, through my. And there are so many other beautiful light workers, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Mm. Well, thank you. What's your website again?
My website is number 5, TH, T as Thomas, H as Henry, 5thdimensionalhealing.com.
Dimensionalhealing.com. Mm-hmm. Healing.
And,
okay.
Dimensionalhealing.com, and there's a schedule of my coming events. In Los Angeles, the one I have in Los Angeles, and then I go to Norway. Also, I do have a third eye activation DVD, as well as a heart chakra opening DVD, which there's active meditations, and I'm leading in the DVD the meditations. So there's the real time in it. And also something I didn't tell you, I finished my first book. It's called Lightning Notes of Zarathustra, which has 99 quotations, poems, and poetry. It's all spiritual quotes, and they're independent. So you can open up the book at any place and get the message of your day.
Uh-huh.
And that's also available for sale on my website.
Yeah, I see a lot of products there. Just one like other question. So you talk about fifth dimensional, which is this place of stillness and silence, expanded awareness. What's sixth and seventh dimensional? That is
beyond my understanding.
At this moment, maybe.
Well, yes, at this moment, because when I go into the fifth, I dissolve. And there is no more me questioning anything. So,
When I get to
fifth dimension, I disappear. So there's no one there asking what is sixth and seventh. So I never got that answer.
All right, I get it. But sometimes you're just a third and fourth dimensional being.
I get it.
It's great, and I think, and I'm really happy you're doing what you're doing, and people are benefiting, and that you're having fun, and other people are having fun, and the planet's awakening. It all sounds great. I mean, it's.
Well, thank you, and I thank you again for inviting me on your great show, and also thanking all our listeners. I hope I was informative, was able to share.
Yeah, I can ask if we have, do you have to go? I mean, maybe we have a time for a question if anyone...
Yes, absolutely, I'm available.
Is interested in the question. I know I have some people on my text
are there any listening. Callers?
But I can ask the engineer, Doug, are you still there? Can you... I can ask if there's what the number to call, actually. If you go to BBS Radio, I guess everyone listening is on BBS Radio. But, hey, Doug, are you there at BBS? Yes?
I am here, yes.
I'm just seeing if Doug is there, who's engineering... back at the station to, let me see if, I'll give people this number, but, Okay, so you're going to be in Sedona pretty much till you go to Los Angeles, right?
Yes, I'll be here till September 23rd, and then I go to Los Angeles, be there for 2 weeks, and then I head out to Oslo.
Okay, so you do... Doug, are you there? But I'll wait till... Oh, what's the number people can call if there's a question?
1 minute,
and then you also did private sessions, right?
Yes. I
Oh, okay. Let me just write this down. 888, yes.
Send Skype.
Yeah, send it to me on Skype, yeah. But it's, you talk about the private sessions you do?
Yes, I also offer private sessions, whether it's for physical healing or emotional healing or a spiritual awakening. I do offer individual sessions.
All
as
right.
well as I'm available for small private workshops with small groups in case somebody's interested,
mm-hmm.
and as well as larger groups, of course.
Oh, great. Yeah. So let's see. The number here is, I think, 888-627-6008. Maybe we have time for, like, maybe just one or two questions. I should go soon. So you, Norway seems pretty open to you, don't they?
Yes. Norway had opened up in past 2 years. And it's becoming more interesting. It's just it's beautiful to see the group of people I've been working with. They're all blossoming, and the change is happening to them. So many of the people I work with, they're going through healings through all these different levels. And a lot of people come to me because their heart's broken, or they feel they're not good enough. There's no self-love and self-acceptance. And it has nothing to do with their physical appearance. Some of them are very, very attractive-looking people. And you would have never imagined that they are going through these kind of emotional issues. But this uh-huh. is, to me, is sort of an epidemic. This issue of I'm not good enough, I'm not being loved because my mommy told me or my daddy told me or they shipped me or they to another home and they abandoned me. This is really, really huge. And I've been having a lot of success working with people in my workshops or either on an individual basis, helping them recognizing that they are whole and they're complete and they're beautiful. And for them to accept themselves.
Well, okay, I got a question similar to that along the lines from a listener, a friend of mine. She asked, to relieve anxiety and fear, living in the present and conscious, when you're affected by other people's thoughts, how can you shield yourself or protect yourself from other people's, I guess, negative thoughts and things like that?
Right. So what was the first part of this question?
It says to relieve anxiety and fear and live in the present and be conscious. But, you know, how do you stop being affected by other people's thoughts? I mean, you know, because they can create anxiety and fear and all that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm personally around a lot of people. And sometimes I'm in situations that there is a lot of anxiety and thoughts up in the air passing through. Mm-hmm. But I know they're not my anxieties. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I may be experiencing it. Maybe I wake up in the morning. This happens to me at times in Los Angeles or if I'm in a big city. But wake up in the morning and all of a sudden my body's shaking and I wake up with anxiety. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened. And what I do is I just look at it and I tell myself anxiety is presence. It's here. I don't try to fight it or get rid of it. I just acknowledge its presence. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a sentient being and I'm aware and conscious and I'm becoming more sensitive, I can feel things much more or more profound than before. So I have no choice but to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. But then I don't take it personal that it's me who is in anxiety. This is my body and my emotions experiencing anxiety, and I do acknowledge it. I acknowledge the emotion. Let's say if I get angry or if I get jealous or whatever is the emotion, and it's mm-hmm. very overwhelming and powerful. It's very real, and it's here. There's no way of denying it. I acknowledge it to myself. I'm angry. I'm really angry is here.
You accept it. You accept that this is how you're feeling.
I beg your pardon?
I'm saying you would just accept it. This is what's present. This is the emotion that's present.
I accept it as what is going on because they're all passing by. All the emotions and thoughts, none of them are permanent. So they can't have a permanent hold on you. They're all passing through. Mm-hmm. So, again, by remembering who I am, that I'm observing this, I'm not immune to emotion, but my immunity is the fact that I'm watching them.
Right.
And I'm
they're
aware
not you.
Of
them. They're not.
Right.
It's not you. You can see. You can observe the sensation of them and not identify with them, I think is what you're
Correct.
Saying.
Correct. But acknowledging it.
Right. You're not
Right. Because if I resist it and try to push it away, it becomes more persistent, and I'm involved with it. But if I acknowledge it, then it just has nothing to hang on, and it goes away. So this is one aspect of answering your friend's question. But there's also another aspect, which is that being in anxiety or being nervous or worried is normally associated with someone who's not trusting life.
Right.
They're not 100%, they're not trusting that God or the Supreme Soul, Her Majesty, she's the force, is taking care of everything. That which gives life and takes life, that force that runs the show, is taking care of everything. The more you become aware of this presence, the more you trust life that everything's going to be okay. The more you have that attitude, the less you're going to have anxiety and worries. Mm-hmm. So that's another part of it that I needed to mention.
Yeah, no, that's good. And you absolutely know that for sure when you're in that place of peace and silence that the world is perfect in its beingness, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's not of course I don't feel that way when things don't go my way.
Right.
And
well, you're human still, of course.
Right. Yeah. But the very deep knowing is not affected. When something goes wrong, and yes, it may upset me, but when I go one step deeper, or in that very moment, I may react to it. But if I wait for a few minutes, and then I remember who I am, I remember everything's perfectly where it needs to be, that doesn't mean I got to be really happy about it. Mm-hmm. But that knowing is there, so it doesn't go into worries and anxiety anymore.
Right, and you're living more and more, and maybe more of us are living from that place of the observer, the place of peace anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll do more of this, and when you come to New York, we'll have workshops, and we'll just hang out with people who are ready for that place of being.
Absolutely.
So,
I I look forward to it. I'm very open to it. Again, as I said, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. It's an honor, and I appreciate all listeners listening to this program.
Thanks, and this will also be archived on newrealities.com, also on BBS Radio. Maybe we could post this on your website as well.
Oh, that would be very nice. I will contact you in the next day or two, and we'll talk about it.
All right. Thanks, Zarathustra. Yeah. And it's Fifth Dimensional. What is the website I just had here? FifthDimensionalHealing.com.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for being a guest. I appreciate all of what you were saying and transmitting. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I've been talking to Zarathustra, who's based pretty much out of Sedona, sometimes L.A. He'll be coming to New York, hopefully in March, and doing those activations. If you have any questions, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you, everyone who's listening, all the texts, all the information, all the input. Thanks so much. Good night.